Pastor Jonathan here, and we want to jump into a part of 1 Peter 2 that we just ran out of time for yesterday. How should Christians relate to governments? Let's jump in at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Peter begins with commanding believers to submit to the government. Leaders are given by God to punish wrongdoers and to praise those that do good. Now, Paul also addresses this issue and, in typical Paul form, dives in deeper than Peter does. To get a deeper understanding, let's jump over to Romans 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Now, there are a few points I would like to make here. First, God is the source of governmental power. Jesus tells Pilate this in John 19. You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Secondly, government is given for the good of the ruled. Government has been given to punish lawbreakers, reward good conduct, and also promote the common good of their subjects. Governing authorities, even sinful, prideful, godless leaders, serve God. Verse 4 says that they are God's servant for your good. When leaders punish evil and reward good, they are serving God even if they don't realize it or even if they want to serve him. Now, does this mean that everything that a leader or government does is godly and approved by God? No, governments are still made up of sinners, and sinners gonna sin. Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar to stop sinning. John the Baptist rebuked King Herod. Many Old Testament prophets were sent to tell the kings of Israel and Judah that they were failing to follow God. But in light of these truths, we need to make sure that we submit to the governing authorities. God has granted authority to these leaders, and failing to submit to them is a failure to submit to the will of God. So, how should we relate to the government? In the United States, as in other countries, we are living in a highly politically charged environment. We must remember that no matter who sits in the high seat of our country, we are called to submit. Republicans, you are not called to submit to only Republican presidents. And Democrats, you are not called to submit to only Democratic presidents. And all of us third-party Christians, well, God bless us all. Good luck in our lifetimes ever having our own candidate in office. Now, joking aside, as Christians of any party, we must reject the idea that we have only to show respect for people who support our own views. Remember, when the New Testament was written, Rome was the ultimate human authority. The emperors were not paragons of virtue and justice. In just a moment, we're going to take a look at a few verses that were written during the reign of Emperor Nero, who was actively persecuting and killing Christians. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Paul commands us to pray for our leaders, that we will be able to live peaceful and quiet lives of godliness and holiness. Peaceful and quiet? Well, that doesn't exactly describe political discourse today, but it is the way our lives should be lived, even when it comes to politics. Paul also reminds Titus of the same thing in Titus chapter 3. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. In the context of submission to governing authorities, Paul tells us that we should be gentle, peaceable, and considerate. We need to ask ourselves, does this describe our political conversations? And back in our chapter today, Peter reminds us to show respect and honor to all people, governors, kings, presidents, city council members, and all other leaders. Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Now, on a personal note, I feel convicted when I read these verses. I love studying politics and history. It's actually what I majored in at university. I have very strong political views that don't easily fall into any one political party. And so it's easy for me to speak against politicians on both sides of the aisle. If I don't regularly remind myself of these verses, it's easy for me to fall into name-calling, disrespect, and dishonor toward our leaders. Instead, I need to be regularly reminded that I should be praying for our leaders, speaking in honorable terms, even, especially, when I disagree with them. But what do we do when the governing authorities command us to do something sinful or enact policies that go against the Word of God? When obedience to the laws of the land would lead us to violate the biblical law of God, we are to submit to the law of God at the expense of the laws of the land in which we live. In the book of Acts, the disciples are commanded by the Sanhedrin, the ruling religious authorities in Israel, to stop preaching about Jesus. Acts 4. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And one chapter later, they respond to the same group with, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Examples of this are found throughout the Bible. The Israelite midwives disobeyed Pharaoh's command to kill newborn boys. Daniel and his friends disobey government laws throughout the book of Daniel when those laws violate the word of God. The reformer John Calvin explained it like this: "But in that obedience which we have shown to be due to the authorities of rulers, we are always to make this exception, indeed, to observe it as a primary, that such obedience is never to lead us away from obedience to him, to whose will the desires of all ought to yield. And how absurd would it be that in satisfying men you should incur the displeasure of him for whose sake you obey men? If they command anything against him, let it go unesteemed." Christians, let us all remind ourselves to pray for our leaders, even when we disagree with them. Let us show honor in our conversations about politics, and let us honor above all our King of Kings, from whom all authority comes from. Thanks for joining us today, and join us next time as we jump into 1 Peter chapter 3.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.